Hi, I'm Justin Boyd.
And I probably should be at Arkham Asylum, just saying. And we are the Watchers in the Basement.
Welcome to the Watchers in the Basement. We are here today to discuss the first trailer for Joker, Filet Adieu. That's right, the sequel to the smash hit 2019 Joker film, which made over $1 billion. And Brittany, before we get to our thoughts on the trailer, I just want to mention, like, this movie is kind of has a special place in the Watchers' hearts and our hearts, because this is a movie we talked about quite a bit our first year. Our first year was 2019 doing the podcast, and this movie came out in October of 2019.
Yep.
The sequel will come out October of this year, so 5 years later. We did a couple of podcasts. I did like an instant reaction podcast, the first one I ever did for the show. And then we did an audio only episode. So if you want to go back and check that out, it's if you're watching us on YouTube or later on you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, they'll be in the description below. So you can check out the link to the audio only version that we did back in the day. We were all in the same room and around a round table, just kind of shooting the shit about Joker. So go back and check that out, if you will.
Yeah.
So what, just before we get to the trailer, just what are your thoughts on thinking back to the first Joker film?
My thoughts on the first Joker film, what are how many times I can go back and rewatch that movie, because one, it's got rewatchability. Absolutely. Hands down. Is it a long movie? Sure. However,
no, it's only 2 hours. It's 2 hours and 2 minutes.
Oh, okay. Twice. Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's still a little long for me, but you know what? It's at a sweet spot. Like it's fine. But every time I've rewatched Joker and Joaquin's performance and literally just everyone in that movie, I find something new. Or I interpret a scene in a different way than maybe I did the very first time I watched it. And that's one of the things that I think we talked about in that audio only podcast, was how many times we've rewatched it and how many times we pick up on something that we didn't pick up before. Right. And just the different topics that movie hits, the themes of the movie and how it's very relatable to so many of us here in the real world. And so I think I think there's a little bit of Joker in every single one of us. Hence why I said, I think I should be at Arkham Asylum, but you know, it's such a great movie. It's cinematically so well done. Mm-hmm. And Joaquin's performance blew my mind. Like, yeah, absolutely blew my mind. And how I think he was very honored to play Joker after, you know, that of Heath Ledger, having, you know, played Joker in the Christopher Nolan adaptation. So, you know, it's really cool for someone like Joaquin to say something like that about a late actor, and just how much respect he has, not only for the actor, but for the role itself. So yeah, this movie is one of my favorite movies. I haven't actually watched it in a long time, but if given the opportunity to watch it again, hands down, I'm going to stop whatever I'm doing and I'm going to give it my full attention.
Yeah, this movie is a special film. I think it was when I saw it the first time, I saw it 3 times in theater back in 2019. It's an instant classic. And like you said, it's a very gritty movie. It's not the most fun movie to rewatch, but I have seen it many times. I rewatched it today, in fact, getting ready for this podcast after watching the trailer last night and kind of getting me excited about Joker again. I went and watched the movie again today. And it's just, like I said, it's only 2 hours, and the movie really moves, and it tells a really, you know, really compelling story. The acting is phenomenal. Of course, Joaquin Phoenix, he won the Oscar for his role as Arthur Fleck / the Joker. And this movie had 11 Oscar nominations back in 2020 for the 2019 film. So this was a critical success, and also, I mean, a box office success. One of the most profitable films, I think, in history. The movie had a budget of $60 million. It made over a billion. It's only the fourth DC related film to make $1 billion. And that the other ones are The Dark Knight, The Dark Knight Rises, and Aquaman, the first Aquaman film. Those are the only other movies besides Joker, of course, that have made $1 billion for DC. So super profitable movie. We knew they were going to make a sequel, and let's talk about that now. But before we get to our trailer thoughts, let's talk about like what we know about this movie heading into the trailer and just some Joker Filet Adieu facts. Brittany, let's walk through this. So Filet Adieu is a French word or a French phrase meaning Shared Madness or Madness for Two, which, you know, obviously with Lady Gaga playing Harley Quinn, we're going to get a heavy dose of that duo. The movie, like I said before, we released on October 4th, 2024. So almost 5 years to the day from the first film. It's being described as a musical psychological thriller. So that's interesting. About a month ago, Variety reported that the film will be a jukebox musical. It's going to have about 15 reinterpretations of like well-known songs. And we see that in the trailer with the song What the World Needs Now is Love, which is a 1965 song. We see a, you know, reimagined version of that. I feel like we're going to get a lot of that throughout this film. Some other quick notes. The movie will be the first film with the DC Elseworlds label. Now, if you're following along with DC, DC is undergoing a reboot. The DCU will launch in 2025 with Superman, James Gunn's film Superman. And so this movie, of course, is not a part of that continuity, and it will be under the DC Elseworlds label. But my guess is that retroactively, the first Joker film and the Batman, Robert Pattinson's movie, and sequel movie, I think that will also fall under the DC Elseworlds label. And if you wouldn't mind putting up the, let's take a look at the poster for those who are watching us on YouTube. Here's the poster that came out like a week ago. Great shot here of the Joker and Harley Quinn. The tagline on the poster is "The world is a stage." Brittany, what are your thoughts on kind of the information we knew going into the trailer?
We knew kind of back then that this was potentially going to be like a musical of some kind. We didn't have the information right that we now have this jukebox musical, whatnot. And I think with it being a musical of some kind, and then you have the likes of Lady Gaga. I mean, Joaquin has also starred in a movie, you know, this about a little known musician called Johnny Cash. So like they're both very talented. I mean, Lady Gaga is phenomenal. I don't care what anyone says about her. I've seen her twice live. That woman can sing and dance and entertain us until Kingdom Comes. Like, she is phenomenal. When I saw her in A Star Is Born, blew me away. Like, she, her acting, like, absolutely blew me away. I didn't get a chance to see the the
House
other
of Gucci
House of Gaga. Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet, but I've heard wonderful reviews of her performance.
She's great. So the movie's not that good, but she's great in the movie.
Okay, good to know. So with her being the Harley Quinn to Joaquin Phoenix Joker, I'm like, this is gonna be nuts. This is gonna be nuts. Given the performance, as we'd already talked about, of Joaquin in Joker, and seeing the range that Gaga has. I am so excited for it. I know people feel some type of way that this movie is going to be a musical type. And I say people, and I wish they were joining us today. I wish Frank and George were here, because I know they've got feelings about musicals in general. And I think if they don't see this movie solely because of that, I'm going to be really sad, because I think they're just not giving it a real chance. Mm-hmm. But going back to what we knew back then, and then seeing the poster that we're looking at right now, if you're watching on YouTube, the world is a stage. It's so appropriate to say that tagline along with it being a musical type. You've got two really talented individuals that are probably living in this dream world, you know, filet à deux, this madness between two. And I think it's just so fitting. It's so appropriate. I can't wait to see what they bring us on the silver screen, and I am absolutely here for it. I'm looking here in the chat. Thank you so much to Drew, our brother from the north, who's joining us in the chat along with King B Johnson. Thank you so much for your sharing your thoughts and your excitement with this movie. I'm looking at King B. Tony Bennett's family and Bradley Cooper plus the original A Star Is Born crew is so proud of Stephanie. Goo goo gaga. Ghost Steph. Yes, I like to refer to her as Lady Gaga. She is queen. She is goddess of entertainment, as Drew says here in the chat. I couldn't agree more. She is phenomenal. And I will also say to Drew, yes, Frank and George need more. They need to be exposed to more culture. They need to give this movie a try. Come on.
You know, honestly, I think that the whole musical thing is going to be kind of overblown, because like I said, I went back and watched the first movie. There's a ton of music in the first movie. There's a lot of dancing. I mean, hell, in the first movie, the three Wall Street guys that he kills on the subway, they're singing Send in the Clowns to him as they're trying to like bully him. I mean, there's a lot of song and dance. So like in this movie, I do think we will see Joaquin Phoenix's Joker perform a song or two. And obviously Lady Gaga is very likely to sing a song or two, but I don't think we're going to get like 15 full on song dance numbers. Like, I think this movie, it's a movie also, right? I mean, it's not like Hamilton is a theatrical musical.
Broadway
musical. Exactly.
Yeah.
This is
Broadway.
A movie that has musical sequences in it. I think it's a little different, right?
Sweeney Todd is another great example. Chicago, Moulin Rouge. Well, yes, Moulin Rouge has also been adapted to the stage. Or maybe I got it reversed. Maybe it was already on stage first and then a movie. Doesn't really matter.
Right.
You look at those kind of movies and you think instantly this is a musical. However, I did a little bit of research in terms of what's considered a jukebox musical. And for some reason, Moulin Rouge falls under that genre, as well as a couple of other well-knowns. If you give me a second, I'll look for it. But, you know, there's Rock of Ages, Rocket Man, the story of Elton John. That's considered a jukebox musical. Jersey Boys, Mamma Mia. The list goes on and on. So, like, these movies have also been very successful. In that genre. And I think I don't think we're going to be disappointed at all with this movie.
No.
The performances, the music, the cinematography. We've got to talk about the cinematography in this trailer, because holy shit, like, it is amazing. So I will say to Frank and George, as much as I love them, as much as I wish they were here to talk with us today, and to the rest of you out there who may be on the fence, give this a try. Like, I promise you, you will not be disappointed. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. Might not be your forte, and that's fine. To each their own, but give it a try.
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more. This movie is rated R for strong violence, language, and brief full nudity, which I thought was interesting. So I wonder if we're going to see Gaga or if we're going to get the full Phoenix. We're probably going to get the full Phoenix, I bet, which, not sure I want to see that, but that's probably what's on tap for that brief full nudity, which that's a kind of a strange thing for a movie nowadays. The budget, like I said, the first movie, the budget was $60 million. The budget for this movie is $200 million. And I know a few weeks ago when this number came out, a lot of people were kind of freaking out. And I'm like, yeah, but think about last time the movie made so much money that in order to get Joaquin Phoenix to come back, to get someone like Lady Gaga to take part, you had to kind of pony up the money. And, you know, Warner Brothers, they're doing okay. Don't worry. It's not your money. Don't worry about what these movies cost. Just worry about if they're good. Because you know what? If they're good, they're going to make a ton of money. Even the ones that are not good or don't even do well financially, they end up making money in other ancillary ways. Like the reporting and the stuff with like Hollywood movies and, oh, something's a bust right away. And it's like later on down the road, it's not a bust. You know, there are the Flash, right.
And,
but I mean, like, there are movies that become like cult favorites. There are movies like, you know, Good Will Hunting. That movie did not do well in the theater.
Oh yeah,
Shawshank Redemption was considered a bust, and it's like,
are you serious?
Classic. Yeah.
Oh wow.
So there's tons of movies that, like, you know, get a following, become like a cable TV classic. Now, who knows how much there'll be cable TV in the future? But what I'm saying is, worry about the movie being good. Don't worry about how much it costs, because it's not your money and it's not my money. And you know what? They're going to charge us what they're going to charge us. Like, that's life. But
yeah.
Well, and that's life is part of one of the themes of Joker, the first movie.
That's life.
Yeah.
That's life. You know, case in point too, Joaquin doesn't do sequels.
Right.
This is his first sequel.
Yeah.
And for him to come back as Joker should speak volumes. Now, whether, and we're not inside his mind, whether or not he believes the reason to taking on this role again could possibly earn him another Oscar nomination or another Oscar win. Who knows? That could be a driving point for him. Or the very fact that he enjoyed playing this character. And then when they brought the script to him and said, here's what we want to do. Here's what we want to bring forth to the world with the addition of Lady Gaga and make her Harley Quinn. You know, if I'm not mistaken, with Harley Quinn, she was the doctor that tended to Joker.
Right. But, Dr. Harleen Quinzel.
Right.
Psychiatrist who becomes, you know, entranced with the Joker and becomes his love interest. Yeah.
But this is slightly different for this adaptation. It appears that she's a patient as well at Arkham Asylum. Maybe?
I think
maybe
not. On whose reality we're seeing.
Ah. And
we'll talk about that more in a second.
Yes. But, yes, I love this.
just wrapping up like the little Joker filet à deux facts. So once again, the film will be directed by Todd Phillips, who directed the first movie. Of course, he directed the Hangover movies. Todd Phillips, like, you look up his IMDb, he's got a lot of good movies. So I think this one will definitely be one of the better ones. As we mentioned, the cast, Joaquin Phoenix, Lady Gaga. I thought this is interesting. Zazie Beetz is returning to the film. Now, in the first film, we're kind of led to believe that Arthur kills her, or maybe he did. I don't know. It's the part where she's in, like, where she's in love with him. Obviously that's his fantasy. That's in his head.
Is it though?
I think so. But the part where I thought he killed her, but apparently maybe she's just in the movie as a flashback, and who knows if that's true, but she's returning. Also in the film, Steve Coogan, Brendan Gleeson, and Catherine Keener. These are all actors who are cast in undisclosed roles at this time. So obviously there'll be more people in the movie, but this is just what we know so far. So
I am so excited for the addition of Brendan Gleeson.
Yeah.
I am so curious as to what character and at what capacity we're going to see him in.
Like, he was in the trailer briefly.
I must have missed
it. He's one of the guards that's ushering Arthur down the hallway in the beginning of the trailer.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so like that had been like a brief thing. I've watched that thing a couple of times and I've still somehow missed stuff. This is why I'm glad we're doing a reaction and you know, hopefully breaking it down. But Steve Coogan is phenomenal as well. So I'm so excited to see just how they're gonna be a part of this movie.
Yeah. So Brittany, let's get to the trailer finally. Let's talk about it. And we're not gonna show the trailer here if you're watching or listening. However, in the description below, we do have a link to the trailer so you can check that out. And then come back and check out what we have to say about it.
So
it's like a 2 minute, 30 second trailer, I believe 2 minutes, 20 seconds, something like that. So check it out if you haven't, but I assume you have because it's pretty great. So Brittany, overall, what are your thoughts?
Oh man, I was hooked. I was hooked. I was hooked. I first saw it by watching it through Instagram. Lady Gaga posted it and I watched the whole thing. I sent it to y'all in our group chat. And it was a little surprising because we were anticipating the drop at like 8:30 Central Time because that's what we were kind of told, anticipating. But it dropped maybe like half hour early. Either way, I was happy we got it. And it started off strong. It started off strong. It started off like just... words cannot explain. I'm blown away by the cinematography, truly. Yeah. Even the brief teaser, I guess you could say even a teaser shot from the day before the video of Arthur just like standing in the rain and he's just laughing. It's that weird laughing that like he's uncomfortable, but he can't help. Yeah. It's his condition, right? And I was just like, oh my God, like the fact that they brought that back and like lingered on that. I'm just like, oh, what is in store for us? But the overall trailer was so good. I definitely got like Moulin Rouge vibes during, I think you can consider the rooftop scene. There's like a big sign in the background that says Hotel Arkham. And it gives me like total old school, like Hollywood type musical vibes. And I'm here for it. I'm totally here for it. And I think Marcy in our group chat said that she's here for unhinged musicals. And listen, I'm right there with her. I am right there with her. I can't wait.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. This trailer looks incredible. You know, like, you know, when people, and a lot of people online, it's become a joke to say this is cinema, and it could be like anything. It could be like something that happened at WrestleMania a couple of days ago. It could be, you know, a sport, other sporting event. It could be, you know, like a bad movie like Madam Web, and someone will pick up like one frame and go, this is cinema. It kind of is a joke, but no joking. Like, this is cinema. You like, this movie looks phenomenal. And
yes,
you know, a lot of the criticisms for the superhero movies nowadays, like, I don't have the fatigue other people do. It's okay. Like, they only put out a few a year. It's not like it's too much for me. But the one criticism I do have for these movies is they do look like they're shot on green screen, because they are. This movie does not look like that. This movie looks like it is real in its own world. And just that fact makes it look special. Never mind the phenomenal acting performances that I fully expect we're going to get. And the music. The music will be great. Again, go back and watch the first movie. There is a ton of music in that movie. And it's like, it helps tell the story. And honestly, if you labeled the first movie a musical, like if you went back and retroactively did that, I don't think you'd be wrong to do that. There's a ton of music in that movie that tells the story. It's just kind of like this. There are a lot of people that are so turned off by the term musical. And I'm not saying I'm a big musical fan, because a lot of these movies you mentioned, I've heard of all of them. I haven't seen any of these movies, these musicals, right? So it's definitely not per se my thing, but I think this movie will be more of a movie than a musical. And, you know, also for the people out there who are fatigued or they're so tired of the same stuff. Well, you know what? This movie is going to be different. It's going to be something new. So give it a shot, because, you know, there hasn't been a superhero musical yet. So this is going to be, you know, breaking new ground. And I can't wait for it. I think, like, you know, we have a poll. I put up a poll question the other day in our YouTube community, asking like, which movie are you more looking forward to? Deadpool and Wolverine, which comes out in July, or this film, Joker: Folie à Deux, which comes out in October. And I got to say, like, it's a dead heat for me, because I'm looking forward to both these films. Brittany, if I throw that question to you, what do you think? Which one are you most looking forward to? And I know, like, obviously Deadpool Wolverine is coming sooner. It's a few months away, which is awesome. But like, to me, like, it's like neck and neck.
So I agree. It's very much neck and neck, especially after watching the trailer for Folie à Deux. However, I'm on an X-Men kick right now, and I cannot wait to see Wolverine join Deadpool, and I'm so looking forward to that. That's going to be entertaining as hell on a different level than that of Folie à Deux. So and because of the fact that, like you said, Deadpool and Wolverine is going to premiere sooner, I mean, that's right there at the forefront. Like, we're just months away from it at this point, so I'm really looking forward to both. But if I had to choose, I did choose Deadpool and Wolverine.
Well, I know before the year I said that, like, Deadpool Wolverine was, like, for sure my most anticipated film of the year. It still is slightly, but I mean, we're talking about like a razor thin margin, because this movie looks incredible. Like, I got to say, if I'm comparing the trailers, and I love the Deadpool trailer, the Deadpool Wolverine trailer from the Super Bowl, phenomenal. I do think this trailer is better than that trailer.
Oh, absolutely. And
I believe this story will be a better story. Now,
for sure.
Will Deadpool and Wolverine maybe be more successful financially? I think it will be. Will it have a ton of cameos and a ton of stuff that I like, we're all going to love? Absolutely. But I do think that Joker: Folie à Deux will be the better movie. So
yeah,
I absolutely either way, I'm happy. The fact that we're going to have two really, like, these are probably gonna be the two highest grossing movies of the year. I really believe that, you know, Dune 2, got a lot of hype. I saw the movie. You saw the movie.
I did.
I thought it was good. I wasn't blown away by it. I thought the first one was actually better. And the movie has made a lot of money, but I don't think it's going to be, I think both these movies are going to surpass Dune 2. So I'll be interested to see what happens with that. But I'm really excited about both these films, but especially this film.
So as you've been talking, Justin, I was rewatching on mute the trailer for Joker: Folie à Deux.
Yep.
And as I said, the cinematography here is stunning, like absolutely stunning. The transformation of Joaquin Phoenix back to the physique that is Arthur just blows me away. And I have to give it to these actors who like just put their body through so much in order to achieve the look of their character. Because I saw Joaquin Phoenix in Napoleon not that long ago. And you know, he has maybe not entirely the physique of Napoleon. I'm sure there's assistance with costume and you know, padding and all that stuff. But yeah, like the physical transformation is crazy, just mind-blowingly crazy. And then to see just the look, how he sees Harley Quinn, Lady Gaga, and how, you know, we're getting these incredible shots of like the stairs again, in a way. I mean, Lady Gaga's coming up the stairs and then she's, you know, she's donning the Harley Quinn sort of outfit, or her version of Harley Quinn. And it's just, it's really cool to see. But, you know, the transition of perspectives where it appears they're at a show and they're watching this couple on stage dancing. And as you see them dancing, they're dancing in the street. So it's hard to see like what's real and what isn't. And it's just incredible. The scene that lives with me is where it appears Arthur is talking to presumably Harley through like glass.
Yeah.
And she has a red lipstick and draws the Joker smile. Mm-hmm. And Arthur just moves into the frame. And he does the smile and it is perfect. Yeah. It is perfect. Like the wide smile is there with the red and it's just so, so iconic. And yeah, that's going to be that, like I said, is just the lasting effect it's had on me. I keep going back to that over and over again.
Yeah. That final shot in the trailer, that's a strong way to finish a trailer.
Hell yeah.
I mean, obviously some recency bias here, but like, I can't think of a trailer with a stronger finish. Like, and the fact that she says, I want to see the real you. And then he, like you said, he comes into frame where it's like perfectly makes the big red, like bloody smile.
Why so serious?
Yeah. No, obviously that's a different Joker, but
I know.
Still same character. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The final shot is amazing. I want to touch on a couple things you mentioned. Did you notice all the parallels between scenes that we saw in the first film with Arthur / Joker, mm-hmm, to what we see Harley do?
Yeah.
And like you mentioned, she's walking up the steps and it's presumably when she's Harlene Quinn and, mm-hmm, or Quinzel, I'm sorry. She, you know, she's kind of down on her luck. Now there's a part in this where I'm sure this is like his fantasy of the conversation with her, because she says, I'm nobody. I haven't done anything like with my life like you have, talking to him, presumably. Yeah. Clearly this is like a fantasy of his. Then she kind of like pretends to blow her brains out, which we saw him do in the previous movie, which we saw Zazie, mm-hmm, Beetz's character do in the previous movie. So that there's that parallel. There's also the parallel where she's putting on the clown makeup, like her, mm-hmm, you know, her eyes, which is very similar to what he does in the first film.
Yep.
Then we see her, you know, smearing the blood across her lips, mm-hmm, you know, to get those big bloody like red lips. Yep. And then we see both of them dancing on the stairway, which of course we saw him do that. And they're, yep, both in their full like costume, you know, garb. Yep. He's Joker and she's Harley. So, mm-hmm, I do think it's interesting to have those parallels. And I wanted to pose this question to you, and I haven't seen anybody else's reaction or whatever, but I just wonder, like, seeing so many parallels, do you think this movie is going to kind of rehash the first movie, but now she's a part of it? Like, you know what I mean? Because it seems like there's a lot of scenes that are very similar to what, mm-hmm, happened in the first film. What do you think about that idea?
I don't think they'll be rehashing the same kind of storyline as what we saw in the first film, because this, I'd imagine this is picking up from where we left off in the first film, right? We see Arthur talking to the doctor or psychiatrist person, whatever, and singing, you know, that's life, you know, what have you, runs out of the room and being chased and what have you. It's going to pick up from there for sure.
Yeah.
And this is obviously where the whole psychological part of it is going to come into play, because, you, the audience, have a hard grasp on what their reality is, because they don't have a grasp on what their reality is, right? At this point, this is going to start morphing into it. So maybe the reason we're seeing Harley echo those moments from the first movie is because she's so like molded into his life, or she thinks she is, and what have you. It's like an illness that's passed on to him. And so maybe she thinks that she is him to some degree, or they've experienced right. the same life. But I don't think it's going to play out to the extent of they're going to rehash out everything that he had done in the first movie.
It's just Does a that theory. Make sense? Yeah, no, I hope it's not, but it was just kind of a theory, because I was watching the stuff and I was like, you know, there's a lot of similar. So mm-hmm. there's a riot scene, you know, much similar to the first movie. Of course, in this movie, we see in the trailer where they're dancing, and all of a sudden they're kind of waltzing through what looks to be like a riot scene on the streets of Gotham. Yeah. So yeah. I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully it's not a rehash of what happened in the first film, but.
I mean, there's also a scene where Arthur is running away from, I think, copycat Jokers.
Right.
So right. And there was a scene, obviously, in the first movie where that was happening, right? There was a bunch of copycat Jokers. Right. And
yeah, there's a whole rally because it's
there's a whole rally for it. But I don't think they're going to try to rehash it at all. I think it's just kind of like a continuation. And this, you know, history has a what do you call it? History tends to repeat itself. Mm-hmm. So it's very possible that. That could be a thing. Let's just face it. This is, you know, like this is the DC universe, Gotham. You know, there's always something happening, right? There's always some sort of like chaos that's happening. So, yeah, but no, I don't think they'll do that. That'd be really cheap. That would cheapen the movie, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, I just think what they could do is, like I said, rehash it, but you kind of get like her perspective of it. And also then you have the music to kind of, fill in the gaps. I don't know. Just a theory. I'm not saying I hope that's what happens. I mean,
if she we'll thinks see. She is him and they lead the same life, like they're two sides of the same coin. I don't know. I have no idea, you know, what they plan to do. It's that's why I'm going to go watch the damn movie. Okay. Like I want to.
Oh yeah. No, exactly.
I want to
yeah.
see what they do.
Right. And I'm not going to be like checking out any spoilers, cause I don't like to be spoiled anyway, but I'm just throwing it out there. We'll see if that happens.
Even here on IMDb, like the storyline, mm-hmm. they're being tight lipped about that. All it says is sequel to the film Joker from 2019. That's it. Nothing. Yeah. No more, no elaboration.
Yeah.
That is it.
Well, the movie's many months away, so that's part
doesn't
of that
matter.
Too.
Doesn't yeah. matter. At some point, they will put like a little blurb as to something that gives you an inclination of what's going to happen, like the plot. But they're being tight-lipped about that, which I appreciate. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I did like how in the beginning of the trailer, and I don't know if this is like a sneaky way to kind of like mention music to get music in the, you know, to I mean, I don't. I think there's like a. Obviously there's people who won't see the movie because it's labeled as a musical. But there's a narrator who says, we use music to make us whole, to balance the fractures within ourselves. And I think that's really a clever way of kind of tipping people off like, hey, there's music in this, or, you know, this is like a soft way to mention it's a musical. I thought that was kind of a creative and a kind of a nice touch. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as we're kind of seeing all these crazy scenes, there is a scene where it appears that the Joker and Harley get married, and Joker is mm-hmm. he's in a white tuxedo, full white mm-hmm. suit, pretty cool look. Yeah. And I just, again, it's going to be interesting to see how much of this is actually happening and how much is happening in their, you know, respective world. Heads, or do they have like a hive mind together and they're, you know, this playing out this like fantasy for both of them. It'll be, you know, it'll be really interesting to see how that all plays out.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I'm kind of just like looking at just the definition of filet ado. You mentioned earlier, it's like shared madness or madness for two. You know, they're living in a delusional state. And this is, I think it's actually a medically termed, it's a medical term, right? It's like a real thing. I think So I'm looking here, it says from the National Institutes of Health, Filiaidu is defined as an identical or similar mental disorder affecting two or more individuals, usually the members of a close family. So apparently Filiaidu and delusional disorder by proxy in a family, like there's some psychotic sort of disorder that's playing out here. So that's what I'm saying, like maybe with Gaga and her as Harley, and you're seeing a lot of callbacks to the first movie, maybe that's why, you know, she thinks that his memories and his life is also hers. It's a delusional state.
Right. Cause she is his psychiatrist, and it sounds like, you know, in most versions of the whole Joker Harley story, she falls madly in love with this person who she's trying to help, and she kind of feels sorry for him. And then he kind of manipulates her, and she becomes, you know, his, like, not only his like lover, but also his kind of like sidekick in their crime, you know, in all their crimes. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. Brittany, let's go to the chat. King's got a question that I think is pretty interesting.
Yeah. Here we go. Question. Do you guys think, who do you guys think could be the best Harley? Cartoon, Margot, Gaga, etc.
Why don't you take that first?
So, I wasn't completely blown away by Margot as Harley. I mean, does she have like the look? Sure. And hands down. Like I think she looked fantastic as Harley, but I wasn't entirely blown away. I'm a little partial to the cartoon one because that's like my generation, having grown up watching like Batman, the animation and what have you. So yeah, I'm a little more partial to that. However, I'm pretty sure Gaga is going to skyrocket to the top after watching this movie. I'm just, you know, I'm going to quote Drew here. Lady Gaga is a goddess. Is she Thor of entertainment? I like that. Yeah, she is. She's fantastic. Everything she does, I've never been disappointed in her work. So I'm pretty sure I'm going to love Gaga. Mm-hmm. Then we go with OG Harley as the animation. And then I guess.
Margot. You mean like Batman, the animated series, Harley Quinn?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now King, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you might be referring to the Kaley Cuoco version of the current Harley Quinn animated series, which is on Max. I believe it's 4 seasons. I've watched all 4. If you're talking about that animated series, I believe that is the best version of Harley. I mean, that's a ooh, wacky, very inner. I mean, if you're not watching the animated series of Harley Quinn, you should watch it because it is it's very, very entertaining. It leans heavily. It's very comedic, but that's my favorite personally, just because I've gotten so much of that. I agree with you. I was not a big fan of Margot Robbie's version. I think mostly because, you know, 2 of the 3 movies she appeared in weren't good in my mind. So, sorry, I knocked my mic around. I did enjoy James Gunn's Suicide Squad movie, but she was good in that film. But the other 2 films, the first Suicide Squad and Birds of Prey, I was not a fan of those films. So, I would take Kaley Cuoco's version, Harley Quinn, the animated series. She's pretty awesome.
I can see her being voicing a Harley Quinn. She's kind of got that vibe.
Oh, yeah, you've got to watch it.
It's
really, really good.
Nice.
It is not like, if for those who are watching and listening at home and you have small children, it's not for kids. It's not, I mean, it's animated, but it's not, I mean, it's
adult the most, animation.
Yeah. I mean, it's the most like adult DC thing I think they've ever put out, at least, you know, on a screen that I can think
maybe
of.
That's going to help DC. Just saying.
I mean, that show's done very well. We'll see. I mean, I know they're going to make another season, and after that, I'm not sure how much longer it's going to go, but it's worth checking out. It's really fun. I want to go back to Drew had a comment earlier that I really want to touch on. Great comment from the beginning. He's talking about the Batman of it. Obviously Joker and Harley are, you know, Batman, universe characters. Mm-hmm. And, let's get what Drew had to say. That thinks this is going to be a phenomenal movie due to Phoenix and Gaga. I wonder if there'll be any type of Batman cameo in it. Actually, I hope not. Brittany, what do you think? Now, obviously, in the first movie, Bruce Wayne was like a 6 or 7 or 8 year old kid. This movie's probably not too long after the first film, so I don't think we're going to get a Batman. But Do you think there should be a Batman? Do you want to see a Batman in this world?
No, I don't. Absolutely don't. I think the nod to the Wayne family was enough just to solidify that he is a part of that world. He being Arthur, sorry, that he's a part of that world. And he definitely believes that, spoiler, he is related to Thomas Wayne. And so, you know, I thought that was fun. I thought that was creative. Whether or not that's true, have no idea, because again, we're dealing with individuals who have a delusional state of minds. So I don't want a Batman at all in this movie or in this series, because I think it's going to take away from the focus that is of Arthur and now Harley. I think it needs to stay separated. And I that's what I liked about Joker to begin with, is just the fact that it, yes, it's DC, but it's not like DC, if that can kind of be understood. It's a standalone. It's dark. It's extremely dark. Like, in theme, it's dark, right? And that's why I also liked The Batman a lot more so than a lot of these other DC installations, because it was a darker theme and it was a little bit of a different take on the Batman, because it's Batman the early years, right? And we hardly ever could see something like that. So that was cool. I think they need to stay separate. I don't think that Robert Pattinson's Batman needs to ever be affiliated with the joke. And it won't be, but you know, I don't think there's a need for Batman to make an appearance.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it's an Elseworld story. This is a Joker story. I mean, the first movie was a Joker story. This is a Joker and Harley story. So, Lego Batman's great.
Lego Batman's awesome.
That's a great version.
I love Will Lego Arnett Batman.
As a Batman, one of the best Batman. But no, I don't want to see a Batman in this story. Mm-hmm. And I think the only way we would see a Batman is if there was like a Joker 5 or something, or, you know, I don't think we're going to get another film. I mean, and granted, if this movie makes $1 billion again, they might do a third one somehow, but I don't think we're going to see more than 3 of these films. And I don't think
I would say cut it at 3. Yeah. I don't think we need to continue after that necessarily.
So, but it is a good question. I think a lot of people are wondering that, you know, cause a lot of people, there are people that, like, I think if there is a Batman, they're not going to like that part anyway. It'll just be a reason to criticize the film. Mm-hmm. Much like, you know, the Joker, like, they kind of give a different origin. And now in the comics, like, he doesn't really have an origin. That's part of, like, the story. Now in the films, obviously, in the movie, I've got, this is the Batman 89 logo that I'm rocking today.
Love it.
In that movie, of course, Jack Nicholson's Joker, you know, Jack
Napier.
That was the
year I was born.
Jack Napier, he ends up, he's the one who kills the Waynes in Crime Alley. He falls into a vat of acid. That's how he, you know, becomes the Joker. Obviously in the Christopher Nolan movies, it's a different person who is the person who kills the Waynes. And then
even the what's the other ones, the one that had the three different Batmans all together, Val Kilmer, George Clooney, and it was Two-Face that killed the Waynes, wasn't it? Tommy Lee Jones' character.
Well, I mean, that's supposedly a continuation of the Keaton movies. So the thing is, I have not seen Batman Forever or Batman and Robin in so long that I don't remember it.
You're okay.
Now, Batman Forever, in fairness, I loved that movie when it came out. It was very successful.
I did too.
The McDonald's cups alone, like the glass ones.
Bomb. My so good. House,
they still have them. They're awesome. Like those are such well-made, like those were like Happy Meal giveaways, or I think they're just like additional, you know, things you could buy.
Yeah, they were.
McDonald's, those are great.
I remember.
But I have not seen either one of those films in 20 plus years, probably. So and Batman and Robin, I did not see that movie in theaters. And I think I've only seen that movie one time. And I, much like the rest of the world, I did not enjoy that film at all.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay. Yeah. So Drew, thank you for being in the chat and correcting what I thought to be true. And you're right.
Yeah.
Two-Face killed Dick Grayson's parents, and that's how Batman and Robin joined back up in the movie. You're right.
If you remember back to that series, what's interesting about that series is, so Keaton is Batman in Batman 89. He's Batman and Batman Returns. But then, you know, in Batman Forever, it's Val Kilmer. However, we have the same Commissioner Gordon. We have the same Alfred. Like, it's it basically was just like they continued the story just with a different actor playing Batman. So
yeah,
but then now people, they've gone back and said, oh no, like the Tim Burton movies are a universe unto themselves, and then the Batman Forever and Batman and Robin, that's a separate thing. So who's to say now? But my point is, like, when you start messing with Batman with the fans, they get upset about how, you know, it's portrayed, and I get some of that, but
yeah,
I think that because this is a standalone Joker story, it doesn't really matter. Batman, it's not needed. So
it's not needed. Like I said, the nod to the Waynes and that they exist in the same universe, and the interesting tie that Arthur thinks he has to them, I thought that was brilliant. I did not see that coming, personally, but that was really cool. That was really cool. I liked it, let it stay where it was introduced and let that be it. You know what
I
mean?
So. And in that film, the truth of it, like, you know, Arthur's mom says that Thomas Wayne is, you know, Arthur's father, but, you know, we're not really sure what to believe, because then obviously Thomas Wayne says, no, you were adopted. He finds some documents that says he was adopted. I think we're led to believe that he was adopted, but like,
but you just don't know. You just don't know what's real.
Was the
mother also equally delusional, or was Thomas just trying to hide, you know, his affair?
Exactly.
You just don't know. You just don't know. And that's what I love so much about that movie, is it keeps you guessing. It keeps you wondering. It keeps you like on your toes. Like that's what I thought was so brilliant about this movie. And, like, I like movies that make you think. I don't necessarily like the psychological, scary, you know, really mess with your mind kind of things, because that just like turns me off entirely. But that movie, the storyline, and again, going back and rewatching it however many times I have, it still makes me wonder what the hell is real and what is it. So the very fact that Zazie Beetz is coming back into this movie, I wonder to what capacity. Is she someone who is still alive, or is she just a callback, a memory, or I don't know. I don't know what to believe. I don't know what to believe at this point, because I don't know what reality is. I really don't know.
Yeah.
Justin, I don't even know if you're real.
I'm very much real. Yeah. I'm
prove it. Yeah. Yeah. But you're over there.
That's true. That's true. This is not AI. Trust me, people. If it were AI, it'd be better. So this is the real deal. Yeah. So, but no, we don't know. And that's the beauty of this movie. We won't know until we watch it. We may not even know after we watch it. It. Like you said, it may be a movie you watch multiple times, and you may try to figure out, like, is this real? Is this real for Harley? Is this real for Joker? I'm looking forward to it. October 4th cannot get here soon enough for my taste. Brittany, before we get out of here, do you have any like final thoughts, anything that we didn't touch on that you want to talk about?
I'm just going to reiterate it again, y'all. Like, don't let the theme of musical turn you off. You know, people always hound me for not wanting to try like new foods because I like what I like. Mm-hmm. However, sometimes I give in to peer pressure. And sometimes I end up trying the new food, and sometimes I end up liking it more than I ever thought I would. And I'm going to say that to the rest of our audience out here who are just like hard no on musicals. Don't knock it until you try it. It just takes one movie, one time, one opportunity. I'm not going to start quoting Eminem. I swear to God, I'm not going to.
Sound like you were, though.
Yeah. I know. I was like, oh, I can see where this is going. Yeah, no. Can we say that 8 Mile is a musical? Can we?
I mean, you probably could argue that, right?
Just saying, and everyone loved that freaking movie.
You probably could. You probably could.
My point is, y'all, give it a shot. Don't knock it. Like, don't go on the internet, be a keyboard warrior, and say this movie is trash because it's a musical when you didn't watch it yourself. Like, if you're going to stand by those words, then you better have given it an opportunity, a fair opportunity.
Right.
And then make your decision and then blast it if you want to. I don't care. Yeah. That's fine.
Let's see the receipts. Like, literally take a picture of your ticket from the theater. But yeah, definitely check it out. And, you know, like, honestly, like, I'm not a big musical fan, but like, hey, like Rogers the Musical from the MCU, I would watch that. If that were here in Houston, I would buy a ticket. I would go see that. I mean,
that's going to happen.
Actually, I think there's a version of it on YouTube right now. because there was a performance in New York or somewhere.
That's fantastic.
So, I mean, the stuff I saw from Hawkeye, I enjoyed that stuff. I mean, obviously it's kind of meant to be funny, but anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
Brittany's right. Don't knock the movie until you give it a shot. And we will definitely be talking more about this movie once it comes out, or if there's another big trailer or another big reveal in between now and October 4th, but definitely look out for more from us about Joker Filet Adieu. But Brittany,
I like what Drew said here in the chat. It was really funny. October 4th is 10-4, which is Good Buddy Day. So appropriate to my hashtag Watchers Basement buddies.
Awesome.
Love it. I love that. Love that. Yes. And good point. King Footloose is 40.
Yeah.
Justin, does that make you feel some type of way?
I'm older than Footloose. I've only seen it like once. Okay. So is that a musical? A lot of music in that.
I would maybe not how we view musicals today.
Right.
But
now, let's get to Drew's next comment. Great about Footloose.
The greatest movie ever.
Yeah,
it never was.
That's from Avengers Infinity War. When
poor Star-Lord.
Star-Lord asked that question, and I think Iron Man's the one who shoots it down, right? I believe
I think it was Spider-Man. Peter. Okay. Peter Parker. He's like, it never was.
Okay. Okay.
Like he thinks, Star Wars is old.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Those movies were great. And we're gonna be talking about one of those movies again in a few weeks. So
The Man with the Plan. Star Spangled Man.
No, that's one of the songs.
Don't encourage and this.
Remember the musical stuff that's featured in Captain America the First Avenger, Steve is playing his part.
Not a full-fledged musical. It did have a musical scene to it. We're not going to talk about the Marvels and that horrible musical scene, because that was just atrocious.
Yeah, when you have a musical planet where the rules are you have to sing to communicate, but then you decide, well, actually you don't, then it's like, well, then don't introduce that at all.
He's bilingual. It's like, shut up.
And also, again, that movie looked horrible because it looked like it was shot in front of a green screen. Because it was.
And it was.
Yeah. So anyway, we digress. But yeah, give Joker a chance. Filet Adieu, The Madness of Two. I honestly, I'll be stunned if this movie is not short of phenomenal. It looks great. I honestly, it'll probably be better than the first one, which is going to be very hard to top.
Drew's about to sign off here, and we're about to sign off here as well, but he says The Joker 2, this is not the movie the world wants. This is definitely the movie the world needs.
There you
couldn't
go.
Said it better.
Bringing in some other Batman phrasing from the Dark Knight trilogy. Love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Brittany, now that everyone knows what you and I think about the trailer for Joker Filet Adieu, we want to know what you think about it. And Brittany, how can people let us know what they think about this trailer?
I mean, do what our brother in the North, Drew, and King B. Johnson did here today, was join us live for the live stream. Let us know your thoughts. Ask us your questions. And, we're going to put it here on the live stream, answer it in real time. And we appreciate them for joining us today. And we appreciate those who are watching live and or replaying our live stream or listening to us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. However, you can also subscribe to our YouTube channel. Help us get to 300 subscribers. We're close, y'all. We're close. We lost a subscriber. Sad. Very sad. Here. But help us get to 300. Spread the word. And you can do that also by following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, as well as Threads at Watchers Basement. That's our handle. And use that same hashtag Watchers Basement to help grow our audience. Send us your memes, articles, things you want us to check out. We'll add it to the list. And lastly, as I've already mentioned, we have audio podcasts available to you on Apple Podcast and Spotify. Follow us there. Give us a 5-star rating. Justin, we're approaching on our anniversary for the Watchers in the Basement. That's crazy.
Yeah, we are. Very cool. 5 years of doing this. So
good lordy.
Had a lot of fun doing it. We want to keep doing that. So please check us out, like our videos, subscribe, listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. It helps us. It really does help us out, and we really do appreciate it. So for Brittany, I'm Justin saying thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Have a good night. Bye-bye.